quarrels. She slapped him as hard as she could. It made her hand sing with pain, so she was pretty sure his face must have felt worse.
"You fucking arsehole!" she screamed.
"You mad bitch!"
he roared back, spraying spit in her face.
"That's it! I'm done!"
And he kicked the door wide and stomped from the bedchamber, which had once been Bethod's, once been Scale Ironhand's, once been Stour Nightfall's, and now was Sticky Ricker's. Corliss, who'd been waiting outside, flattened herself against the wall as the nails stormed past.
"You're mad as a boot full of bees,"
he snarled over his shoulder, trying to do his sword belt up at the same time and making a mess of both. Ricker's bare feet slapped at the steps as she chased after him.
"Better bloody mad than bloody stupid, say I. No need to pick, you've managed the pair."
He stalked out into grey daylight, raindrops prickling the chill puddles scattered about the yard, and she followed.
"Running away, are you?"
"Aye,"
he growled,
"for I wring your twig of a neck."
Folk all about had perked up at the shouting. A girl with an armload of firewood was gawping at them from under a dripping oilcloth.
"Back to the West Valleys."
The nail jerked his arm at his men, and they fell in with him, tramping in a sullen crowd out of Bethod's fortress and into the city. Dark stone turned darker, with wet, dark roofs glistening with rain.
"You can fight Black Calder on your own."
"I'll do that, and I'll bloody beat him too."
"You'll bloody lose and piss away all you took."
"My da always said the West Valleys were a fucking sty," she shrieked at his back. "And you don't need the long eye to see they've birthed a litter of swine with you lot."
"Long fucking eye."
The nail spun about, looming over her, face so twisted with rage she stumbled back and almost slipped on her arse.
"Don't make me laugh."
And he stuck his great scarred forefinger in her face so hard it near went up her nostril.
"You can't see what's right under your nose, you half-blind witch!"
"Well, at least one of us has something long."
She started forwards and jabbed her little finger in his face.
"Guess we know why they call you the nail now."
"My cock's decent-sized,"
he spat at her feet.
"Used to shit yourself all over Ufrith, now you're shitting yourself all over Scarlin's chair."
And he gave a bark of fury that nearly made her slip over again, then stomped off faster than ever, his dour-faced family crowding after him.
"Go on," she screamed at their backs. "Back you go to your mummies, you batch of cowards. Not one decent set of bones in the lot of you. We're well rid of you, you bloody chicken fuckers. I never saw such a stack of fishy cunts. You bloody, bloody..."
She'd run out of insults, even bad ones, and the nail and his boys had already made it to the gate of Carlion and vanished down the entrance tunnel. She was shouting herself raw at the wet air. She realized she'd wandered halfway through the city, bare feet cold on the damp cobbles, bare legs covered in goose flesh under her cloak, damp hair plastered to her head by the chill rain. Reckoned she must have trodden something on the way. One foot was smeared brown down the side.
"By the dead,"
she muttered, hopping about while she tried to wipe it on a slippery doorstep. That was when she saw a curious crowd had built up. Townsfolk, carls and thralls, a couple of dirty children with a big bedraggled dog.
"Haven't you shits got aught better to do?"
she snapped, pulling that red cloth tight about her, along with such shreds of dignity as she had left. She turned back towards Scarling's hall with her chin in the air, doing her best to look like a screaming row half-naked in the pissing rain was just one more step in her grand plan. Corlith, Isern and Shivers stood in the street behind her and did not look convinced.
"I've heard it said a clever woman can turn enemies into allies with her quim," mused Isern, eyes thoughtfully narrowed. "Yours seems to work the other way around." very funny.
Ricker pushed past her and strode back up the hill. The Nail had his mind set on going after Calder now, if you can call it a mind. Bastard wouldn't be argued down. Now, mark you, with winter coming on.
I warned her about getting cocky, muttered Issun from the side of her mouth. Maybe I should have warned her about getting cock.
We'll make do fine without him,
Ricker roared at the town in general.
A fucking carrot can do the same job.
Shivers raised his one good brow.
Doubt we'll beat Black Calder with a carrot, he said.
We will not beat him with vegetables of any kind, said Issun as they stepped back through the gate in Bethod's great wall. For that we will need men, and my guess is the Nail will be taking his cousins and his uncles and his friends back to the West Valleys with him.
We'll be short-handed if Calder comes knocking.
When he comes knocking.
All right,
snapped Ricker, stumbling on the mud-heavy hem of her cloak and having to pull it up clumsily above her ankles.
Might be I got a little carried away, but we managed before he turned up, eh, Issun?
Issun considered her, jaw muscles squirming as she chewed a chagger pellet.
When we were running for our lives through a freezing forest, you mean?
I was thinking of a bit after that.
When we dragged you half dead and all mad up into the hills to be paint pricked by a witch with her head stitched together?
You're in one of those moods, snapped Ricker.
No, said Issun, you are. Sitting in Scarlin's chair don't make you Scarlin. And wearing Savine Dan What's-Her-Face's necklace don't make you Savine Dan What's-Her-Face. It ain't pouting or wrath that got you here. It's care and planning and a humble respect for your enemies and your allies. It's those things'll keep you here. Head on along this path, you'll end up taking the drop from the windows sooner than I thought.
She gave a long sigh and put her chin in the air.
And all my efforts wasted.
Ricker stood in the thickening rain, watching her swagger away. She badly wanted to take a parting shot, but found the quiver was empty. She glanced up at Shivers, who was frowning back at her, his grey hair turned dark by the rain.
Am I to take it you agree?
Shivers' real eye gave away no more than his metal one.
Well, I don't disagree.
Ricker hissed in disgust as she ducked back inside, wet feet slapping on the flagstones.
Here, said Corlith, handing her a chagger pellet. Nice to see some folk can yet be relied upon.
And Ricker pushed the pellet up behind her lip and shoved open the doors to Scarling's hall. Stour was clean now, bruises mostly healed, even if his legs never would be. He'd stopped begging, stopped talking at all, just sat there, one white hand up on the black bars, waiting. She felt his bright, wet eyes following her, and it made the hairs on her neck prickle. Jonas Clover didn't look bothered by the great wolf, mind you. He was one of those bastards could look pleased with himself, sat on broken glass, warming his hands at the fire like some smug old tomcat, his wet cloak thrown over a bench to dry, like this was his hall.
Chief, he said, glancing up. My hearing ain't all it used to be, but I could swear I caught some manner of commotion.
Only the Nail on his way out of town.
A short trip or a long?
Clover raised his brows at Corlith, but no further details were forthcoming.
Well, we went over to the Redwater Valley, like you told us.
And Calder's boys were down there?
Asked Ricker, dropping into Scarling's chair. Either it was softening or her arse was hardening, it didn't feel so uncomfortable as it used to.
Ran into a dozen, led by a fellow called Trapper.
Put him back in the mud, did you?
A brief pause, and Ricker got the feeling he was considering how to cast something in the best light. He did that a lot.
Some of them. The rest?
sent him back to Black Calder with my cordial greetings and hopes for a mutually beneficial future. Kept your options open, in other words. And from his cage she heard Stour Nightfall give the faintest hiss of contempt. Kept the lines of communication open, I'd say, said Clover. Thought the time might come when that could be useful. Useful to me, or useful to you? Our fates are wove together, Chief. I see no difference twixt the two.
Huh. She shifted her chagger pellet from one side of her mouth to the other and leaned forwards, turning her left eye towards him.
I've seen your future, Clover. He winced. At least tell me I get to sit down.
Not yet, anyway. You're going to go pay Black Calder a visit.
That wince became a full grimace. That doesn't sound like something I'd do.
Think better of where you're at and decide you'd rather be somewhere else. Sounds like the sort of thing you're famous for.
Knew that'd land me in trouble sooner or later. So if Calder doesn't kill me for betraying him in the first place, what then?
Ricker considered him a moment, considered the position, turned in the chair to consider Stour Nightfall, sitting calm in his cage, hungry eyes gleaming in the shadows. She weighed the words carefully.
Tell him I'm willing to deal. Peace in the north, in return for his son.
Clover glanced over at the cage. Ricker heard the chain creak as Stour shifted inside, pressing himself to the bars. Heard him make that hiss again.
You sure? Asked Clover.
I'm sure about asking the question.
As you wish, then.
He dragged his wet cloak from the bench and over his shoulder, slapping dew from the wolf pelt collar.
If your answer is my head in a jar, don't say I didn't warn you.
I'll weep a river. And Clover?
Probably best you don't mention this business with the nail. Wouldn't want Calder thinking we're weak. Goes without saying.
And he gave a little bow and walked out. Corliss put one hand on the arm of Scarling's chair and leaned down towards her.
Reckon we can trust him. Anyone we can trust, Calder won't talk to. Sometimes you need a man no wind can shift.
Ricker turned towards that patch of floor that was getting somewhat stained from her chagger spit and spat on it.
Sometimes you need one who bends with the breeze.